San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Mother's Day, May 14, 2023. Today's lesson is Born of Light with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Happy Mother's Day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You know, there's only one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all the universe, and I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. You know, this one power, this one presence, it is not male or female. It is everything. It is the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And so today on Mother's Day, we're going to look a bit at the divine motherhood. Divine motherhood. As you know, I like to do research when I do my talks. And so one of the things that I always do is just put in the talk title and see what comes up. There's an image right here up front that is called Born of Light. And I want to tell you something about it, because when I first looked at it, I thought, wow, wow, that is amazing. It is actually made of clear acrylic resin, and it was made by Frederick Hart, who was an artist. And so I want to tell you a little bit about him and a little bit about this piece. This is from his series called it's right here. It's a contemporary idea of creation, and he intended it to evoke the heroic struggle for awakening and consciousness, or birth. When you look at it, you can see various forms emerging from the mystic, whispery depths of unawareness into the light of awakening and understanding. That's why he calls it Born of Light. The embedded figures create kind of a spiritual presence, an inner grace that hints at what will be revealed in the outer image. The juxtaposition of the inner and outer figures conveys a very powerful message on the evolutionary ongoing process that's essential to the understanding of creation in a contemporary way. So we become, as we look at this sculpture, as we imagine what's going on within it, we become participants, not merely observers. Born of Light draws us into experiencing the ongoing presence of creation. And that's what I saw when I first saw the image, before I even read anything on it. I looked at it and I thought, wow, the inner and the outer, that's creation. That's thoughts or things. That's the evolution of life. So when I read about it, I thought, whoa, I guess I know a thing or two. Because I guess he's a great artist and sculptor because I understood his message. So I'm going to leave it up here. It is one of a series of creation sculptures. Which is Frederick Hart's vision of an unfolding universe. He submitted his design, one of his designs, this one, I believe, in 1971, for a Cathedral International competition. He didn't finish his series of the 20 sculptures until 1990. Can you imagine having a vision that sustains you for 20 years? And that you just keep on seeing it, being inspired by the divine idea of God that was given to you in the first place. Seeing your ideas be born of light. Another tie-in with today's talk title is Born of Light, is that we think of, on Mother's Day, we can think of how babies are born. Babies are in the darkness of the womb. They're protected, they're nurtured, they've got everything they need in there. They're just, you know, growing and, you know, developing their hands, their fingers, their feet, their toes. They even suck their thumbs. You know, they do all these things in the womb. And all of a sudden, one day, they come out into the light. And their entire world changes. It's no longer dark and not really quiet, because their sound gets transmitted, outside sound, through the fluids within the mother's body. This sound is there for the growing baby. But once they come out, they're no longer in the dark fluids. They're outside in the light. Now, last week we talked a little bit about the cave-like illusions. And if you want to know why babies cry, all of a sudden they're going through this trauma. They come out. There's no liquid to breathe anymore. They get air and they go, "Wah! Air!" And so that's why they cry. And that's why the doctors need them to cry, to know that there is air in the body that they are breathing. But what are they really breathing? They're breathing the divine presence, just like they were in the womb, but in a different form. Everything, everything is the divine. Everything is light. And as we see light and we want to become enlightened, we may decide, oh, I'm going to pray for spirit to bring me light. Newsflash. The light that we want is not something that spirit has to give. It is spirit. Therefore, it's already within you. It already is you. And you simply get to recognize that the light is already there. And perhaps focus your attention on knowing that this light is already there. Paramahansa Yogananda, everybody know who he is? Okay, he's the, oh goodness. Roy Eugene Davis was his student for this, and as he has the Center for Spiritual Awareness. Yogananda was a great guru, and he is the founder of, up in Encinitas, the Center for Realization. Yeah, and so all of the centers for realization are the work of Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda. And he also wrote the Autobiography of a Yogi, or it was written about him. He says, a mother's love is not given to us to spoil us with indulgence, but to soften our hearts that we may in turn soften others with kindness. In India, we speak of God as Mother Divine. Every mother is a manifestation of God's unconditional love. Although human mothers can be imperfect, the Divine Mother is perfect. Mothers were created by God to show us that we are loved with or without cause. May all the sons and daughters of the world be filled with that motherly affection, which is the reflection of the Divine Mother's unconditional love. And may we give that unconditional motherly love to one another so that we have peace and heaven on earth. May Divine Mother fill us with all her unconditional love this Mother's Day and always. And so it is. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I also want to share with you something from Reverend Maria Barrero. She says in a book called The Revealing Word, she says it defines motherhood as the nourishing element of divine mind or God in which spiritual ideals are brought to fruition. Divine motherhood. Don't you think that Frederick Hart was inspired by divine motherhood, that divine creative force? Reverend Maria writes, there is no individual out here in the world who can provide a nourishing environment for the care of children and others unless it comes from God. It is God's love that inspires individuals to provide the support and good works for the growth and development of our children and others. It's God's love. It's not something that has to be manufactured, not something that has to be striven for. It's already there. It's the whole reason for creation, that the divine was so giving that created everything. Reverend Maria writes, we celebrate the genuine caring, understanding, and joy mothers give in helping and supporting others. It is God's love, grace, and blessings which are poured through mothers to touch the hearts and souls of all whom they meet and care for. Spiritually, anyone who lives by God's truth and principle is serving all people, recognizing the divinity in all. So what do we do here at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living? We touch lives. We touch lives with unconditional love. We are not obligated to like everything that everyone does. In fact, it would be impossible to do that because people do contradictory things, right? So it is our job and our privilege to love the divine creativity within each and every person. We talked about boundaries before. So we get to set boundaries. Like, I can love you unconditionally without judgment, but without placing myself in a space that is not healthy and nurturing for me. We all need to be aware of our own need for nurturing. Our own self-care. And we're going to be talking about self-care next month. But what is important for us is to remember that not only are we love in action, we have within us and we can share the divine motherhood. the divine feminine, that source of all good. Ernest Holmes is the founder of Religious Science Movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. He wrote in his book under Faith in Available to All, he wrote something, and I write in the margins of my book in pencil. See? When I first got my leather-bound copy, it was just very pale, very small, fine writing, so that I wasn't damaging the book. Now you can see that it's, you know, hey, there's the circle, the arrow, the big line, the big words. And what I wrote on the side here is hidden in pure light. Hidden in pure light. And if you think about the baby in the womb, it is already in pure light, even though the appearance is of darkness, of muffled noises, of no friction, because there is always contact with the fluids. So there is this infant in the womb, hidden as the pure light of the divine. Ernest writes, well, he reminds us first. He reminds us that anybody who is familiar with the biblical history doesn't really need a lesson in faith. But if they do, then they can go read the chapter of Hebrews, because there's a whole lot of stuff about faith there. He writes, our ancestors believed the biblical records and embodied this living faith in their consciousness, thereby leaving us a great legacy of faith. Whatever they did, they were able to do because they grasped an instinctive faith and marched boldly on with it. If you have been told all your life, you can't, it's beyond your capability, nobody can do that. When you're not encouraged to do different things, to be creative, you don't have a good foundation for faith, because your faith is in the falsehood. Your faith is in, oh, I can't do it. It is not for me. I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't play an instrument, I can't play hopscotch, you know, I can't grow to be over 6 feet tall. We have belief in those things and faith in falsehoods. But we do have that faith. It's just misguided. Ernest writes, since faith is a quality unconfined to age or station, it may be ours today as much as it has been any man's at any time. We are not going through a harder time today, a longer or darker night, than has ever been experienced before. It only seems darker because we have lost faith, the beacon light. Our faith is a beacon light. All the things going on in the world, if we look at them today, we go, oh, this is horrible, this is terrible, this is the worst ever. I want you to think back to caveman days or medieval days. Life was a bit rough. If you wanted to get anywhere, you had to hoof it. Not on a horse, on your own feet. Ernest writes, if one will have faith in himself, faith in his fellow men, in the universe, and in God, that faith will light the place in which he finds himself. And by the light of this faith, he will be able to see all is good. and the light shed by this faith will light the way for others. We become conscious of darkness only when we are without faith. For faith is ever the light of our day and the light on our way, making that way clearly visible to us, even when to all others it may be beset with obstacles and ongoing rough. So whenever we see stuff, whenever we see the shadows, and we get all wound up with, oh, it's a shadow. We've got deep state government, it's a shadow government. We've got corrupt politicians, and they're hiding in plain sight. We've got all these great ills of the world. You know, I'm having trouble coming up with examples, because if you turn on the news, that's all you get is examples of the darkness and the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the greed, the all of these seven deadly sins on your nightly news. The reason they are called the seven deadly sins is because you're killing yourself with them. Not because somebody's going to come and kill you over them. I mean, sloth. Nobody's going to come and say, ah, you're guilty of sloth, we're going to kill you. No, your sloth is going to eat away at your insides, at the light inside of you, until you can't see it anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that the light isn't there. It means that you have adjusted your thinking so that you are denying the light that you are. So the seven deadly sins, all they are is seven really unpleasant ways to hide your own light. So let's lighten up just a little bit. And let's find out, what does motherhood mean? First, it means sharing in the creative power of God. Conceiving, carrying, and giving birth to a human being is as close as any person can come to the act of creation. That is the beginning of motherhood. But it is far from the end. Motherhood is also nurturing, sacrificing, loving, and ultimately letting go. Let me remind you, not every woman that gives birth participates in motherhood. There's a difference between giving birth and being a mother. Many women who have never given birth have participated in motherhood for others. In the Bible, it talks, there's a story about two women going before King Solomon, and they're each saying, that's my baby. There's one baby, and the woman on the right is saying, that's my baby, that's my baby, she's trying to steal my baby. And the woman on the left is saying, that's my baby, she's trying to steal my baby. And so Solomon says, well, obviously we can't solve this, so, you know, we can't make either of you happy, so let's just cut the baby in half, and you can each have half the baby. And the one woman says, okay, fine. And the other woman says, no, no, do not cut the baby. I will give up the baby. That's my baby, but I will give it up so it can stay alive, and I will give it to that other woman. Well, they didn't cut the baby in half, but what that did is that showed Solomon who the real mother was. How? Sacrificing love. The willingness to let go for love of another. As the real mother found out, sometimes being willing to let go is the only way to hold on to your child. In these ways, mothers reflect the nature, the actions, and the being of God. I have a prayer for mothers. So simply close your eyes and take a deep breath. For mothers, whether they gave birth to the children or adopted them. For mothers who have lost a child through miscarriage, abortion, adoption, or death, and who still feel the loss. For those who have never had children, but who miss being mothers, and who are mothers in their hearts, who express their nurture in other ways. For our own mothers and theirs, as far back as our living memory will carry us. And for all who have lost their mothers and still feel that loss. It is Mother's Day today. Let us remember all the varieties of mothers in all of our lives, in gratitude and prayer. And let us remember in prayer those other names which we know in the silence of our hearts. And so it is. Reverend Carl Kopp is an author and a divine science minister. Now, I'm going to share something that he authored. But I want to remind you, everything he says, I'm going to give you this setup. We are born of light. We are born of the imminent radiance of the divine. That's what we are. Everybody is. Not just me. Though I have a fair amount of the divine in me. I do. But since the entire divine, the entire God presence is fully present everywhere, so do you. It's the old, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? All of them. Because the divine is fully present everywhere, on the head of every pin, in the breath of every breath we take, in the blink of every eye, in every one of our eyelashes. The divine is fully present. I was thinking about the holy relics that the churches had back in the day, in the early years, after probably about 100 years after Jesus passed, they would say, aha, I've got a sliver of the cross that Jesus died on. Aha, I've got a finger bone from the Apostle Paul. Aha, I've got this, I've got that. And you know, there was an entire industry of fake relics. Fake relics. So there was, probably some guy sitting in his room, maybe a monk, trimming his fingernails. And then he's going to go out and say, these are the fingernails that were clipped from Jesus. And sell them. Why? Because people need to believe in something. And he was disabusing their need to believe. We need to persist in seeing the light within ourselves and others rather than the shadows of falsehood. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, it says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Because there's no such thing as evil. Evil is the absence of the conscious awareness of the divine. Reverend Kopp said, "We are surrounded, it often seems, by appearance of evil. We are also surrounded by appearance of good. But the more we lend ourselves to the appearance of evil, the less we are able to see the good. Hence the advice, hold fast to that which is good, or as Paul says, prove it. Put goodness to the proof. In everything, give thanks. To abstain from the appearance of evil is not to bury our heads in the sand. But by refusing to give our attention to that which would contradict God's immanence, by putting behind us such false appearances, we are the freer to realize the goodness which is ours by right of consciousness. Let us open our eyes to the good. Let us open our hearts to the good. Let us voice our thanksgiving for the good. Speak no evil, but good. Soon we will not see evil, for there is none really to see. To prove all things is to see through the appearance of good and evil only that which sustains and uplifts us and is of real value. We are the children of light. We are the children of the day. There's no such thing as children of the night. When I worked for the government, I had a clearance, and there are certain things that you go through before they just say, okay, you can look at secrets. You have to go to a class. You have to read a 3-inch thick binder of rules. You have to sign that you read different sections of it. You have to initial on the side that you read. You have to sign. I know that if I violate any of these rules, it's Leavenworth for me or my life. So what they told us to keep us from living in fear that we were going to do something wrong or say something wrong, they gave us some guidance. They said, before you do anything, think about it being on the front page of the morning paper. Before you do anything, think about it being on the front page of the morning paper. If you would feel guilt or shame, don't do it. If you don't want everybody in the world to know what you're doing, don't do it. If you can't justify what you're doing, don't do it. And all of those things came in that simple guidance. Before you do anything, think about it being on the front page of the morning paper. Now, this was so long ago that people still read their morning paper. They got their paper delivered to their house and they read it every morning, because otherwise how would they even know anything? Didn't really have talk radio, didn't have cable stuff. The news was printed. That's how you found out stuff. The other thing they told us is that the appearance of impropriety is as bad in the public eye as actual impropriety. Sometimes it was worse, because if people don't know all the details, they will fill in the blanks with all kinds of bad, dark stuff in the absence of facts. the appearance of impropriety is as bad in the public eye as actual impropriety. And we did have people fired, not because they did anything, but because it looked like they were doing bad things. It looked like they were being bribed. It looked like they were bending rules. It looked like they were lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. Whether or not they were. And so when someone would come into the situation where there was the appearance of impropriety, there was always an investigation. And if you were just a normal person, you were let go. If you were way high up in the hierarchy, they would take everything into account and bring somebody in to make sure that the appearance of impropriety was shattered. They would shine so much light on what actually happened that there was no room for a shadow. Why? Why the difference? Because an engineer in San Diego doesn't have the same national security impact as the Joint Chief of Staff does. So, you know, relativity. We are born of light. Everything we do is made of light. We have another song that we're going to listen to. It is called A Mother Like You, and there's a woman named Kendall Renee singing it. I want to acknowledge that everybody did not have a wonderful experience with their mother. Some did, some didn't. Some had middle of the road. Some had picture-perfect divine motherhood in their mothers. I am blessed because I am a mother and I have children. And I was not the perfect mom, but I did what I could. I loved them unconditionally, and I did my best. This morning, I was given a Mother's Day card, and this one happens to be from Reverend Mark, and I want to share what it says in here. You can really tell when someone loves being a mother because her passion shines through in everything she does. And that's the type of mother the world needs more of. One exactly like you. So thank you, Reverend Mark. Yes, I love being a mother. Yes, my passion shines through in the things that I do. I'm not sure everybody needs a mother exactly like me. But thank you for your time, your attention. Happy Mother's Day.